So I'd like to move on now and talk about the impact of eosinophil comorbidities on asthma management. So I've already alluded to chronic rhinosinusitis. It affects a significant proportion of the US population. For patients with severe asthma, it's even a bigger, higher proportion. It affects sleep, it affects patients' productivity and their quality of life. And we know that upper airway disease that's untreated is associated with increased inflammation in the lower airway. So if we only treat the lower airway with inhaled medication and we disregard the upper airway, we run the risk of having poorly controlled asthma. And that's why it's very important to treat these patients. And as you can see, 20% of patients with severe asthma have nasal polyps. It's difficult to treat. Often patients have recurrent courses of oral prednisone. It's the only thing that gives them relief. And it also may involve coexisting infection, fungal infection, for example, and frequently requires surgery. But unfortunately, the surgery for chronic rhinosinusitis is not curative, and many patients will require treatment for that condition, a repeated surgery for that condition. Now, a less common disorder, but one that is challenging to diagnose because, as you can see from this cartoon here, it can present in multiple different locations. The patients tend to be in middle years. It's an extravascular necrotizing granulomatosis with tissue eosinophilia. It involves a vasculitis of the small and medium vessels, and it can present to multiple different specialties, and it often the diagnosis is missed because it may present in an atypical fashion and not always recognized. The etiology is unknown, but the importance of this condition is, unlike asthma, it tends not to be a chronic, intermittently remitting condition. It tends to be progressive, and also it can be fatal. You have the prodromal allergic phase, you have the eosinophilic phase, and then you have the more severe systemic illness. And I think many of you, like I, will have patients who I see. I can think of a number in the last couple of years who present with the prodrome or even the eosinophilic phase, and then they progress to systemic disease. And likewise, patients may present to a neurologist, for example, with the neuropathy, and may be recognized as having asthma, but the severe underlying eosinophilic asthma may not necessarily be recognized. So these are the stages of the EGPA, and these is a condition that's particularly important to diagnose, and it's also very important now because we have very effective treatment for it. Hypereosinophilic syndrome is defined as somebody who's got an eosinophil count greater than 1,500 for longer than 6 months. And it tends to be chronic and progressive in nature. It's associated with inflammation and eventual organ dysfunction. And as you can see, the most common sites are, again, skin, lungs, heart, and nervous system. And just like EGPA, it presents with a multi-system disease. So these patients often fall between the cracks, as it were. They're seen by maybe by a dermatologist, and the significance is not recognized. And although 80% of patients survive 5 years, the 15-year survival is 42%. So this syndrome is very important to recognize. In my practice, in terms of the patients that I see with this very infrequent disorder, our hematologists take care of these patients because there can be more aggressive forms that actually need significant treatment. So these are very important hypereosinophilic syndrome that one needs to be aware of in terms of seeing these patients.